on, brothers. Stick that index finger into the air right now. The Doug and Wolf Show savages the morning broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday. That's right, lover boy. You know the party's not going to be the same without you tonight, right? Get up, get out of bed. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. Put on the Jordache jeans. Pull them up real high, brother. And then go ahead and take that neon comb out of your back pocket and brush that feathered hair all the way back. Everybody's working for the weekend. The party's not going to be the same without you.
You've been on this kick of quoting Loverboy lyrics the last couple months.
Just honestly, it blows my mind, ladies and gentlemen, how long we've actually had this song. You want a piece of my heart? And the consultants have not made us change it. Every Friday, 13 years, ladies and gentlemen, this is year 13 of the Doug and Wolf Show. Play the Loverboy and do it loud. Yeah, baby.
If you didn't get a chance
Jacked
to hear
up
the show,
was bang that cowbell, Douglas.
Was it last week that Dale Wolfley joined the Doug and Wolf
it
Show?
It was Dale Wolfley, indeed, who joined the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning.
This is has anything broken? Has any news broken in the Wolfley household since then?
I don't think so.
Because I think most of you listening now at this hour know that Loverboy was originally intended as a song that Yoda played one time when Ron Wolfley told the story of his older brother actually getting ready to go out on a Friday night jamming to Loverboy, if there's such a thing as that happening. And when we played Loverboy, all of a sudden Wolf opening up about this story then suddenly got angry. Couldn't stand the fact we were doing it, thought we were mocking your brother, said, will never do that.
Of course.
So we turned it off.
I was a little intense back then.
And then Wolf went in this big speech about how much he loves his brother, and you can't make fun of him. And after a long pause, all of a sudden, then Yoda did it again and just, boom, punched it. And as soon as he did that, Wolf just lit into Yoda. Just totally lit into Yoda.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
And then Yoda went,
like, knock it off, Yoda. I'm serious.
And Wolf was so mad.
Yeah.
So.
I was.
We waited.
I was.
We didn't flash the one or anything. We didn't flash the two or anything. We waited. And then sometime around 7 in the morning, we punched it again on him. And Wolf lost his mind again. And wouldn't you know it, we stopped. We went a week without playing it. And of all this, we got faxes. The show is that old now, I admit. We got faxes from people saying, where is Loverboy? Bring it back. And finally, Wolf agreed we would bring it back on one condition. That none of you ever would run into Craig Wolfley and tell him,
That's right.
You know Doug and Wolf play Loverboy in a somewhat fashion of remembering when you used to brush your feathered hair and get ready to go out and thought Loverboy was rock and roll?
Ladies and gentlemen, though, you have to understand that my older brother Craig, 5 years older than I am, he was big man on campus, okay? I'm literally big man on campus. Want a piece of my heart. Here's a guy that had that Keith Partridge hair. He has no hair now, ladies and gentlemen, but here's a guy that had that Keith Partridge hair and would stand in front of the mirror on that Friday night. Get ready to go out, right? Oh, my goodness. All the way through college, you're talking about a guy that started for Syracuse since he was a true freshman. I'm not talking about a redshirt. He didn't redshirt. A true freshman. He started for 4 years, was team captain, All-American. Got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. Yet, there he is standing in front of the mirror, and he had the best hair. This feathered hair, getting ready, huge neon comb that had to be 10 inches long. I kid you not.
The hilarious thing, though, for me now.
Give me some Ric Flair on a Friday.
Last week, for the first time, we told your younger brother, Dale, that this was going on, that this had been going on for a decade.
I have told him before.
Oh, you have?
Dale, yeah. I have.
So he knew.
He's heard it before.
And it's in a trusted place that he will not bust you? Because I think he's going to bust you.
I don't think so. I think at this point in time as well, I think Craig would probably laugh at himself.
You're okay.
It's 13 years.
Okay. Well, hey, you were the one that...
I think he would probably laugh at himself because he knows it's true.
But it had been 30 years when this show first started since he stood it above the steps brushing his hair. That you were still worried about it.
I was, but he was younger back then.
I see. Okay?
He was younger. And
was the whole Wolfley family angrier then, and now everybody's better?
I just think the intensity has faded, ladies and gentlemen, all right? I think it's needed to fade in the Wolfley family. It's needed to over the last decade, yes. Without
Woo!
A doubt. Here we go. This is a Ric Flair Friday.
It is?
You're going to be mine!
Yeah! Stand in the tunnel. How many times I heard that?
If you want a little bit of a piece of transition,
the
Suns are in Charlotte this weekend. And yeah. that's where Ric Flair lives.
That's where Ric Flair. Do you know who Ric Flair is, Basinonians, right now, right at me? Go ahead, my young brothers. At me. At Wolf 98.7 FM.
Speaking of Charlotte, if Maloney, if you could do me a favor and look,
I just like saying at me.
And or Bear, either one of you, look up on Google Earth and show me the rest area that's on the Carolina-Minnesota border. I would really like to see, like, what kind of restaurants are on the Carolina-Minnesota border. If there's a Waffle House there.
What are you talking about, Carolina-Minnesota border?
The Suns have a back-to-back this weekend.
Oh.
They're in Carolina on Saturday and Minnesota on Sunday.
Okay.
I thought back-to-backs were like Orlando and Atlanta.
All right.
Something like that. I thought back-to-backs were San Antonio, Dallas.
You got it.
They got a back-to-back in Carolina and Minnesota. Who does these things?
Yeah, you
Who
got
makes
me.
Schedules like that?
Kinda
that
like,
is just asinine.
Kind of like our headline on our ArizonaSports.com.
Oh, that.
Go to it right now, ladies and gentlemen. The Greg Williams.
Is that the Greg
headline.
Williams? That got me. That got me.
I looked at it three times.
That
you've lost
me.
It, Ron.
Wait.
Oh, you've
I,
lost
I
it.
I thought the Jets signed him. How did we get him?
You've lost it.
Do I have a cell? No, I don't. Why don't I have a cell?
Greg Williams, the good man, Joseph.
No, never mind.
Yeah,
part of the starting five.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Let's go, Ben.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five
this morning is the fact that the big cheese... Big Cheese walked up to me yesterday and said, you can't have them.
What do you mean, the Big Cheese?
The Big Cheese of the station walked up to me yesterday and said, you can have them.
Okay, not the cheese maker.
Yeah, no, the Big Cheese. No, yeah, the cheese maker is here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the cheese maker loves you. He doesn't know who I am.
The cheese maker was walking around.
The actual CEO, president, or whatever his title is, of the whole company was here yesterday. And every time he's here, he loves to see Wolf. He says nothing to me, but he loves to see Wolf.
Daryl, the cheese maker.
Regular Big Cheese came up to me, and he gave me the company glass seats.
Oh, did he really?
Sidney Crosby and the Pens are in town,
That's
and I'm sitting on the glass.
Oh, I see.
And most importantly about these tickets, there's free beer in that little BMW club underneath there.
Oh, good.
Player.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Number four.
Oh, by the way, real number five is the Coyotes are at home tonight on 98.7 FM, Arizona yes. Sports Station. I just care about the beer. Championship weekend is this weekend in the NFL. The game one that's coming up is the NFC side of things, in which you'll have the Rams and Saints at 105, and then the Patriots, 0 in their last three road championship games, trying to knock off the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Didn't change much for us, but it just, you know, shows you kind of what, you know, people would think about, you know, what our chances are.
Man, it is championship week.
He's not done.
No more added comment to that.
You serious?
Yeah.
Extra motivation at all?
I mean, if you're not motivated this week, you got a major problem.
Sorry. Yes, you've got a major problem right now if you're not motivated. There's no denying that, right? We're all motivated, Tom.
Number three.
We're moving. Number three this morning is the fact that we had three teams in action here in the southern part of Arizona. GCU crushes Chicago State at home, 80-46. Maloney's wearing the U of O gear today mock all of you Tucson fans as U of A lost. They only had 9 assists and 14 turnovers, and Oregon won 59-54. ASU, huge lead over Oregon State. Then it falls apart. OSU, the ball, down 3.
6 seconds, 5 seconds. Thompson, down low to Kelly. 2 seconds, 1 second. Ethan Thompson misses at the horn, and Arizona State wins it, 70-67.
Now, if you don't mind a little piece of information here, Lou Dort, I love you.
Yeah, Lou.
I love Lou Dort.
Lou.
But we got to help you on the basketball IQ. You heard Tim Healy say they threw it down to Kelly. Kelly's on the block. Oregon State's down by 3. Why did you leave a 3-point shooter to go down and guard the guy on the block? Who cares if the guy on the block scores with 2 seconds left when you're up by 3, Lou?
Hey, this was a quality win by ASU. Oregon State undefeated in Pac-12 play.
Just kids, don't guard the block when you're up by 3 with 2 seconds left.
Number two.
Cardinals coaching search. They got Greg Williams. I didn't realize Greg Williams was a defensive backs coach from the Denver Broncos and not the Greg Williams from the Titans, from the Saints, from the Redskins, and the one-time head coach of the Buffalo Bills who left the Browns as the interim coach and is now the Jets head defensive coordinator.
Dodged a bullet there, did we not?
I don't know. Gentlemen. That's kind of geeked, I admit.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning.
Can put a whole game in the last play. You don't lose the game in the last play. I never believed that. I know they don't believe in tonight. You know, it could be playing good teams. Mention again, low margin for error could be one. Simple play, one turnover. Then
Suns lose. But we don't feel all bad about it. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I admit it, I am in a great mood, jacked up today. Pretty fired up for an amazing weekend. As tonight... I am bragging because I don't deserve them. I just got lucky.
No.
Our company, as partners of the Coyotes, we have, you know, different perks the company does, but we don't get them as the blue-collar guys that work here.
I see.
And they have seats on the glass that salespeople use all the time to wine and dine clients, or the Big Cheese uses. And the Big Cheese is a hockey guy.
Yeah.
Big Cheese actually played hockey growing up a little bit in Alaska. So he uses them. And
you can tell he's got a wide base. If you look at him, he's got a wide base.
Yeah, plays a little cheese. Keeper. Soccer term. And he...
He'll love that.
And I've asked for the glass seats before, and I've gotten lucky to get them, but usually, you know, I get shot down. I got shot down on the glass seats, and I get them.
Right.
It was like, hey, the client can't use them, so here. I'm like, yeah! Yep. So I'm jacked up for that. So that's tonight. And then tomorrow night, some guy that kind of wanted to marry Jennifer, I think. I don't remember the story. I didn't pay attention.
Oh, no.
But it's her high school best friend is in town, and he's an Oregon fan, and he bought us tickets. He wants to go see Oregon ASU tomorrow night.
Okay.
So now I get this free weekend of going to Coyotes tonight, ASU tomorrow, and I didn't spend a dime.
Wow, that is good stuff.
I'm jacked up this weekend.
You ought to be jacked up.
Grand Canyon's at home.
Especially on the glass.
Grand Canyon's at home if you want to go do that. And then I admit I'm happy about the game last night with the Suns, and there's a difference between let's be knowledgeable talk show host who doesn't have any players listening.
Sure.
And let's be angry coach.
All right.
And I think these are two different points of view.
All right.
Okay, if you watched the game last night, Suns a loser as Siakam was able to score at the buzzer to break a tie.
Lowry has it. Lowry to Siakam. Siakam with 6 seconds. Siakam with 5. Siakam with 4. 3-2. Siakam on the drive. His shot is good. And the game is over if that counts, if he got it off in time.
He did, Al. That's Al and Tim on the call. 109-109. Siakam at the top of the key. Drives right around Bridges to the left. Up with the left hand and scores. And if you are a fan, if you're a talk show host, this is okay. You know, the games where they didn't have effort, they did start slow, but the games they didn't have effort, they didn't have energy. You should have anger in the belly. What are you paying for? This is a bunch of crap. I mean, all that stuff. You were right when you feel like that. But in this game, DeAndre Ayton on that play, terribly late.
Yeah.
coming over.
I would agree.
And if you are the coach, you got to rip him. Okay, DeAndre Ayton, this is why you're here.
Right.
The center's got to be able to know, leave your man, force him to get rid of the ball. You're going nuts on Bridges a little bit because you did get beat.
Yes.
But you're all over Ayton.
But?
For us as fans and media, this is when we say, okay, kid, you had 15 points on only 8 shots. They should have given you the ball a lot more.
Yes.
You had 17 rebounds. You were engaged. 1 minute left in the game, T.J. Warren made such a god-awful offensive decision to not give you the ball when you were open, to the point that we actually had D-Book yelling and pointing down for T.J. Warren to throw the ball to DeAndre Ayton, and he didn't. And this is where we know you are inexperienced.
Yes.
This is when we know you never were the guy. Ristich was the guy for U of A last year. You weren't the guy standing on a far side, weak side block, recognizing here's the drive and coming over. It's okay.
Yep.
You have to screw that up to get it. And if you're the coach, don't let him off the hook. Be all over him.
Of course.
But for us, that's the lesson. And as we see, it's taking painfully long. But it does seem like he grows with every screw up.
You got to raise the bar of expectation for DeAndre Ayton. You just have to do it. As a coach, to your point, Doug Lease, you've got to raise the bar of expectation. Don't let him get away with anything. Don't pat him on the back and say, great game, because I thought he had a great game.
Yeah.
I thought DeAndre Ayton played extremely well, Basin O'Neill. Think about this. I've got something we call the intensity index in the Wolf League compound. The intensity index for DeAndre Ayton. You add your offensive boards, your steals, and your blocks together. DeAndre Ayton had 7 offensive boards. Think about that. 7 offensive boards last night, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was plus 11 on the intensity index. He was working last night. There's no doubt about that. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but nobody's going to go out there and play a perfect game. I love DeAndre Ayton's game last night.
I did too. I thought he was really
Except
good.
His hands drive me crazy. Yeah, and this is what you were
catching the ball with his chest.
What are you doing? Or does he have small hands? That's what I want to know.
Every
right
time
now.
You see DeAndre him jump Ayton for hands. A rebound, and all of a sudden it just pops out of bounds, or pass to him just hits him in the hands and then bounces away.
Wow!
When even when he does fight for post position, sometimes he loses it on a double catch.
Whoa.
Those are the reasons why I want to say, hey, they lost. You should have started better. You shouldn't be down by 12 in the first quarter, but they fought against one of the best teams in basketball.
Yep.
Granted, they didn't have Leonard. Lowry didn't play that much, but those are different points. We're worried about the Suns. Now, the negative of this, it happened again. The officiating in this game was not horrible, but there was a stretch in about the third quarter, I think it was, where all of a sudden there were 4 bad calls in a row against the Suns.
Yep.
And it happens.
Or non-calls.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. The Oubre play down in the baseline.
Oh my goodness.
And they were bad. Those were bad calls that were not made. But that's life. Josh Jackson lost his mind, got ejected.
Yep.
And I'm not arguing the ejection. I understand why he was upset.
Got the flagrant.
But he deserved it. He got ejected, okay? And what was weird is he got ejected before the flagrant. So he was obviously clearly arguing and going nuts about and that happened right after the Oubre foul.
I think he knew it was coming.
Yeah, and that's probably true, too. Here's the thing. Igor did nothing. Again. And as these, and granted, it was only 4 bad calls in a row. But as it mounted, Igor, you got to feel this. You've got to see your guys are sick of it, and you've got to be the one to take one for the team. You've got to light up the refs so they know that you have their back and they don't have to do it. Igor, you are a brilliant basketball mind, but every time you do this, you prove you're an assistant coach.
Yo.
This is what assistant coaches do where they stand pat. The head coach has to feel this. He's got to stand up for his guys or they're going to keep doing this.
Having said that, though, there's no excuse for Josh Jackson.
I accept that.
There's no excuse whatsoever for Josh Jackson. He's a young player. It's just like DeAndre Ayton. You never want to lower the bar. You always want to raise the bar for these young guys. There's no excuse for Josh Jackson to get ejected in that game. You cannot do it. You can't say it. You can't do it. You're selfish. And you know what was so interesting is he was being escorted to the locker room. I don't know if you saw it, but they caught it right at the end as he turned and started screaming. I love the intensity, dude. Oh my goodness, I love that. Bring that intensity and that determination to the floor. Bring it. Nurture that. Tap into the rage tree, because that's the one place you can do it. It's okay to get primal. But, I love that.
But
you can never, ever be selfish and satisfy your own pride. You can't. Ever. Josh Jackson, he's developing. He's developing, and right now I like what I'm seeing from Josh Jackson, and the intensity was there on the defensive end of the floor once again. I love what I'm seeing from Josh Jackson. And he's actually developing a three-point shot.
There were a lot of good things last night. Oubre went 3 of 15. You know, if the way he's been playing, if you lose a game and he doesn't shoot well, you know that's not going to stay that way. There were a lot of good things. Back-to-back this weekend, at Charlotte, at Minnesota. Have no idea why the NBA set that up. And you've got... both games are on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Early start time tomorrow, 3 o'clock at Charlotte with Alan Tim on the call. Coming up next, the Cardinals pulled the massive coup and got Greg Williams. At least that's what I thought for 5 minutes. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If you get a chance, go to our website, arizonasports.com. I got fooled. I want to fully admit it. As I read, and it even says in the headline, I admit it wasn't the website tricking me. Report: Arizona Cardinals hire former Broncos DB coach Greg Williams.
It's two G's, dog. Remember, two G's.
And I automatically saw that, and all I read was Arizona Cardinals hire Greg former, so I'm thinking Browns. I see yes. Former B, Coach Greg Williams.
Yep. It's sort of like Wolf's outdated cell phone, 2G.
I lost my mind when I saw that. I thought he signed with the Jets. I thought that was a Jets. And I mean, I am freaking out. I'm a little nervous because Greg Williams can be a head case.
At the same time, you loved it.
And I loved every second of it. And I felt dirty. I felt like I'm wrong to love it. I thought, man, this is too much, but
Greg
I love
Williams.
It. And then I thought Greg Williams might run over a young head coach because Greg Williams just did it with Cleveland.
Yep.
Even though he realized quickly, I better calm down because Todd Haley's being a bigger jerk than I am, and maybe Todd will get run out of here too, so maybe I will get the job if I calm down. And everything was going, and I'm thinking, I love it, but this could end badly. And then I clicked on the website, and there's a big picture of this other Greg Williams, and I thought, that's not Greg Williams. No. What is going on?
And Greg Williams at 2G's ain't taking no defensive backs coach there, Doug. I mean, he's getting 7 offers at a time to be a head coach in this league. Are you kidding me?
Paul, and then the second,
I thought to myself, I wonder what Vance thinks about this.
The second
when I first saw it.
Paragraph. The second paragraph of this article with 2G's. Williams, not to be confused with current Jets defensive coordinator and former Browns interim coach Greg Williams.
Yep.
And they've got 2G's. Joins the staff of head coach Cliff Kingsbury, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, So I get through that reaction of the you don't have Greg Williams. And then the second reaction was this. Man, I get it. Go ahead. You're Vance Joseph. You have a comfort level with different coaches. You want to be able to get that message more smoothly to your guys. I get it. But do we really want to emulate the Broncos defense over the last couple of years? I mean, is that
well,
a fair
honestly,
question?
You know what? Honestly, when they had Aqib Talib and Von Miller, of course, that defense was excellent in 2017. They had a lot of injuries and got banged up in 2018, and they didn't have Aqib Talib. They traded him away because he was a head case, as we all know. So I think I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with that, especially knowing that hopefully they're going to go out there and be very, very aggressive on the open market and get an inside linebacker, get a Mike backer. That's what I want to see more than anything else. Bring somebody in here, whether it's KJ Wright. He really isn't a Mike backer. He's more of a weak side inside linebacker. But a CJ Mosley might actually be out there. And when you start talking about improving this defense and improving especially the rush defense, you're talking about a Mike linebacker.
And once again, in the 2 years Vance Joseph was head coach, when the Broncos scored 24 points, Denver's record was 7-1. So that would seem to indicate the defense wasn't the primary problem. Now, was the defense great this past season? No, but I think the defense, if you listen to a lot of the guys out of that Broncos locker room, lost confidence in the offense. They were struggling, and as Chris Harris Jr. said in brutal fashion at the end of the year, we haven't evolved on offense. We've stagnated. We're behind the times. I mean, he absolutely ripped the offense. They're Pro Bowl cornerbacks. So, here's the thing.
You're going to play a lot of man cover as well. That means you need talent.
And you've got so many new names and faces on this coaching staff that have never worked together before, at least a few guys with some familiarity with each other. I think that's a benefit because you talk about how players are going to have to get the chemistry and cohesion. Right now, the coaching staff is going to have to do that over the next month or two.
You got that right, Paul.
Seriously.
The other thing that we're going to get into in a little bit, but I'm wondering, there's still no offensive coordinator. Is there any chance the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals in 2019 is coaching to finish the 2018 season?
It's
a possibility, yeah.
That's plausible.
Out there, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be one of the reasons why they haven't named somebody.
I mean,
right
if you're
now,
moving
right?
this
one
fast
of the
on all the other
championship
positions.
Championship weekend.
Yeah, if you're moving this fast on all those other positions, it does seem that way.
Or it really is giving the candidates pause when they're not calling the plays, and it's not going to be their scheme, and it's totally undefined as to what is the air raid in the NFL. What does that mean? What sort of form is it going to take? That might be giving a lot of candidates a lot of pause right now.
I think that's very fair. I'm reaching a little bit by suggesting that, but hopefully that's what's going on, is they're looking for somebody that's still coaching. WWE is taking over Phoenix January 26th through the 29th as Royal Rumble, SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, NXT TakeOver all come to Chase Field and Talking Stick Resort Arena. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com for complete details and your chance to win tickets. There's a couple basketball things that happened last night that you have to know about. Let's start with U of A basketball in London. Okay? I know that you're going to say, wait, what? U of A didn't play in London? No. We need to talk U of A basketball in London. Last night, the Washington Wizards won 101-100. In the fourth quarter, the Knicks won the fourth quarter 24-11. Would you like to know how the game ended? U of A's Alonzo Trier, with 0.4 seconds, got called for goaltending. A walk-off goaltend won the game for the Wizards.
Wow. Now, is that subject to review, or is that 100% the call of the referee?
That is the call of the referee. Goaltending is not subject to review. It should be, but it is not.
Because you want to be able to determine, is that ball still rising or not?
Yes.
Okay.
So Alonzo Trier gets a goaltend. So there's your U of A update that I'm being funny. I mean, it happened, but it is funny to me. The other thing that you need to know is last night, ASU and GCU, both winners, and the game ended, and it worried me. Something happened that you have to know about.
6 seconds, 5 seconds. Thompson down low to Kelly. 2 seconds, 1 second. Ethan Thompson misses at the horn, and Arizona State wins it. 70-67. Great defense by the Sun Devils in the closing seconds.
I am a big Lou Dort fan. And full disclosure, he had a terrible game last night. Just shot selection was awful. He only got charged with 2 turnovers, and that means that his father must have been keeping score or something like that, because he was just dribbling the ball off his foot all day. But that play, when you heard Tim Healy say the ball was thrown down to Kelly, OSU was down by 3. Lou Dort left a 3-point shooter to run to guard the guy on the block. Lou.
Yeah,
I think you're going to be a good pro. There are some people who think you're a first-round pick. I personally do not, but I think you could earn it. There's still plenty of time for you to earn it. But that you played soccer your whole life, and then you came to basketball late, okay? And you don't have all the gifts that DeAndre Ayton did, who didn't start playing basketball until he's 12. But that is just a math problem here. Maybe it's just a reaction, but if a guy's on the block and he's down by 3 with 2 seconds left, let him shoot!
Was there a timeout before that final play? Because I'm also going to put that in the coaching staff. The coaching staff needs to look at a teenager and say, here's the deal. Here's your assignment defensively. Thou shalt not fire off an uncontested three-point shot if you're the opposition. So I'm putting some of that on one of the seven assistant coaches on that ASU sideline.
Lou Dort was just on fire earlier in the season,
yeah.
Was he not?
Yes, he really was.
And then all of a sudden they played Kansas, and they beat Kansas. And a couple of games after that, we all know what happened. The losses, of course. And I think Bobby Hurley's just sitting him down. That was an extreme reaction by Bobby Hurley to me, sitting him down, benching him.
I'm wondering if Lou Dort started to listen to people like me. I'll say what I think, but don't listen. If you're a player, do your job. I think a lot of people started talking about Lou Dort as a first-round pick and started talking about, hey, you need to work on your three-point shot. You need to – here are the weaknesses of the game. And he's using basketball as like a scrimmage to show where he should go in the NBA draft instead of just doing what got him the attention in the first place.
You're right. Those mock drafts started coming out about a month ago, and all of a sudden he was the 20th pick in the first round, maybe the 17th pick in the first round, out of nowhere to most people's estimation, and maybe that included Lou Dort. All of a sudden he's like, hey, man, check this out. I need to work on my game, polish up some of my numbers. Sean Miller, after their loss last night, had a comment where he said, we had X number of turnovers. We should have had five more turnovers because of the five selfish three-pointers we jacked up during the game.
Well,
that was
no
Sean
doubt.
Miller.
I
yeah,
love
there's
that.
No doubt that Bobby Hurley was trying to get Lou Dort's attention when he sat him down.
See if he gets
and
it.
And I know he wasn't alone.
To Paul's point, you have a 9 assists, 14 turnovers. That's not a good ratio.
Everybody's got to get their own.
That's not a good ratio. Coming up Sunday, Rams at Saints, Patriots at Chiefs. Is there something going to happen on Sunday that has an effect on the Cardinals? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Championship weekend. Rams Saints is game one, 105. And where do you want? Do you want everybody that says, I'm sick of the Patriots? Come on.
Yeah.
Do you not want to see Brady versus Breeze in the Super Bowl?
Just the greatness of the New England Patriots. Just deal with it, ladies and gentlemen. A team that can be whatever they need to beat you.
Drew Brees?
Yeah, obviously, we played them, you know, midseason, and it was a hard-fought game on both sides of the ball. But I think we had a feeling then that, obviously, we aspired to be in this situation, and I think we all had a feeling that they were going to be the team that we might face again, and so here we are.
That's him talking about the Rams. Or do you want Rams-Chiefs? Do you want the new age? Do you want old-school Andy Reid with the new age offense? Patrick Mahomes, stud of the earth, against Sean McVay, the love affair of every NFL general manager and owner. I want a Sean McVay.
Young.
What do you want? Young and young or old and old?
Don't really know, but I do know this, Doug Lease. Championship weekend coming up on Sunday, Basinonians. It will affect the Arizona Cardinals in some way, shape, and form. It will. There's no denying it. But I will say this, knowing that the top four scoring teams in the league are going to be copied. This tape from Sunday is going to be broken down, the AFC, the NFC championship game, like you have never seen broken down before, because they are the top four scoring teams in the league. This tape from this weekend is going to be consumed, absorbed, broken down, dissected, analyzed, regurgitated, and processed on a molecular level. It is going to be unbelievable because of the offenses that these four teams have. And what I cannot get around is this. Which of the four offenses that we're going to see on Sunday is going to resemble Cliff Kingsbury's offense the most? Which will resemble his offense the most in 2019? I look at the Rams. They have an innovative balance, is the best way to call it, with Sean McVay. Innovative balance. The Saints meets the Chiefs offense, because the Saints, I think, for the most part, I think the Saints are probably, I don't want to call them the most blasé or beige. I don't want to call them that, because they're very, very creative with Sean Payton in the play calling. But what they do when you really break it down is really not that creative. they're balanced for the most part. They have an old world feel to them, a balance with an old world kind of San Diego Chargers when it used to be Dan Fouts throwing the ball. I kid you not.
Air
all the way back to that with Dan Fouts and the way they'd spread the ball all over the place. The Patriots are whatever they need to beat you, including a fullback. The Rams are that innovative balance that I was talking about. The Saints meeting the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, they're the blending of the old and the new packaged in this shiny paper. And I think maybe the Chiefs' offense is going to be very similar to what Cliff Kingsbury will run.
About 15 years ago, I had the pleasure of a guy that worked with the Chiefs would take me kind of under his wing, and every summer I would sit in his office and he would show me the Chiefs' offense. And he would kind of teach me a lot about football. And he told me something that was interesting. He said Saturday night before the game, he would take that cool laminated call sheet that you see coaches have, and he would sit there and call plays for a college football game. And what he thought of is he only cared about, he wasn't arguing with the college team's OC, but he would look at clock, down, distance, and then think about what would I do with my offense during the, if I'm in the exact same scenario. And he could care less than what the result of the play was for the college football game.
Brilliant.
But boom, now it's 3rd and 13. Okay, yeah. I want this, I want this. And he would say, I would say it quietly so nobody thought he was nuts, but he would yell out the personnel group and just actually go through a whole game.
Sure.
I know that sounds a little cheesy. When we talk about what the Cardinals could do this weekend, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I don't know if he just has an apartment right now or what he's got. Maybe you go to Cardinals headquarters.
Yeah.
But I'm telling Michael, you're paying for lunch and dinner, and you're bringing it all in, and I'm bringing my offensive coaching staff and my defensive coaching staff, and we're going to sit and call plays.
You're going to have a party?
I'm having an old-school sports bar type of feel at Cardinals headquarters. There's going to be beer, and we're just going to sit and watch the championship games together, and we're going to drink beer, but we're also going to call plays. Hey, I want this. Here's my format, and it's going to be just let's get to know each other as if we're doing a game, but let's do it with beer in a relaxed atmosphere and get to know each other.
All right, give yourself the wolf howl right there. You are on fire this morning. I have no idea what's gotten into you whatsoever, but you are fire. Doug Lease has improved the broadcast, my friends, right there. So I could see that happening. That's the crazy thing about it. I could see it.
Because these guys don't even know each other.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
what do you mean,
sitting around this room and watching the AFC and NFC championship game as a staff.
The two most offensive words you could ever say.
That would be so awesome. Oh, can I get in that room? Can I get into that room? Just stand up and shout something out like we all do when we watch these games. What are you doing? Right? How many times I stand up and start yelling at the television the compound?
I bet if this happened, Steve Keim would want to be in there. Would he get nervous if his young hotshot head coach started yelling at Sean McVay? What's McVay doing? You can't do that right there. You can't wait. You can't question Sean McVay.
Oh, my goodness. That would be, that'd be so cool. And it really, honestly,
they have to get to know each other.
Bring this staff together. Or maybe it would highlight some differences.
And that's a good thing, too. Let's get them out of the way now.
Yeah, well, I would imagine right now, because this is it's really exciting to be based on Orleans, because there are coaches that are over at the facility building right now. And I will tell you, even now, this morning, I would suspect they're probably getting ready for a day of doing nothing but trying to put this offense together.
Yeah.
The Cliff Kingsbury off. They're greasing it up on the board. Hey, Sean Coogler, get up there and show us your protections. How many protections are we going to use? How many do we want to use? And by the way, Cliff, do you want any protections? And how are you going to coach these? And how are you going to teach Sean Coogler to coach them? They're up there greasing it up on the board, making an offense out of nowhere. It's why I come back to my original point. How does this weekend impact the Arizona Cardinals offense? Boy, I think a lot, because they might have that party sitting around watching
this. You could see a play that the Rams call, and then you say, okay, we have that. What would that be in our system? How would you block it? How would you do this? And maybe you missed part of the game. You just rewind it a little bit right there on the DVR and say, okay, how would we do this? Okay, go back to the next play.
Cliff,
and you can talk things out.
Cliff, I could just see your Cougs. Cliff, listen. Listen to me, Cliff. We need ballet. You know,
they're already arguing about running the football in the NFC Championship game.
Wouldn't you love to hear what it is that they're saying? But I will promise you what's so exciting and exhilarating. They're greasing it up right now. They're greasing it up.
At 6:56?
They're making, well, maybe.
Okay.
They're making the playbook out of nothing.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico.
Bear, did you like that, how I let Wolf know what time it was inside the context of his topic? That was pretty sly by me, I thought.
I said it was 6:56.
I see.
Coming up next, 5 bold predictions.
Yeah.
Wolf's fired up for it on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.